Welcome back to the Mike McFeely Show. It is 3:35 on this Thursday afternoon on the Mighty 790 KFGO. All kinds of text messages, all kinds of phone calls were coming in about our previous topic, but I do need to change course just a little bit here because I had a previous guest schedule. We can get back to our Texas abortion topic after we talk here with this guest. I want to welcome into the program somebody who we've not had on before, but who I certainly respect because I know that for many years he was deeply involved in wildlife management in the state of South Dakota, and I know that he worked very closely at times with a good friend of mine, Tony Dean, sadly the late Tony Dean. His name is John Cooper. He's the former director of the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks Department, and there's a seminar coming up tomorrow in Fargo that I want John to tell everybody about. So I want to welcome to the program John Cooper. Hi, John. How are you?
Good, Mike. How are you this afternoon?
You know, I'm like everybody else trying to stay warm, but every time I think about that, I think that I'm happy that I'm not a pheasant or a deer or a grouse because they have a lot tougher time staying warm, John, than I do. I have a house.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It is amazing sometimes those of us in the wildlife community try to figure out how we raise anything up here on some of these kind of winters that we've been having.
Yep, no kidding. Okay, so you're going to be in Fargo tomorrow, John, January 25th. No, I'm sorry, on Saturday. I'm one day behind. It's going to be on Saturday, right? January 25th. You're going to be in downtown Fargo at the Fargo Radisson, and you're going to be talking about North Dakota's oil boom and how we can protect our hunting heritage in North Dakota. Why don't you walk us through what this is, John, because this is something that is a hot topic among a lot of outdoorsmen these days.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with what you guys are wrestling with up there. When I say you guys, I'm going to talk primarily about sportsmen in general, and that includes an awful lot now of our the ladies who are starting to become involved in a variety of outdoor activities way more frequently than they have been in the past. So I want to make sure that they know that we're including them. As a brother and sisterhood, what I'm going to try to do at the seminar is to try to walk folks through other examples of where we've had significant impacts to wildlife habitats throughout the country, but more localized. I'll talk a little bit about our efforts. I'm talking about sportsmen and women's efforts aligned with what some folks want to call greenies. I kind of hate that term. I think all of us at some point in time, if you like the outdoors and you want your families to be involved in the outdoors, the dividing line between what people might consider greenie environmentalists and what sportsmen stand for are pretty darn blurred. And I so that labeling thing is not real real popular with me. I think we villainize people of our who are involved in our own camps for some reason. But anyway, I've had experience working on gold mine impacts, coal mine impacts, timbering impacts where it involved nesting bald eagles for residential development, issues with wind and wind towers and the killing of migratory birds. And of course, certainly oil and gas in places like South Dakota, North Dakota, and Nebraska. Most of that in my career was involved with oil sludge pits and the handling of oil sludge pits, which become kind of death traps for a lot of different critters. But you guys are dealing with something up there that is really extremely difficult. I mean, and one of the things I want to try to impress upon the folks that I'm going to be talking to there at Fargo is I don't have all patented answers on what the sportsman's community should try to do in regards to that energy development that you're experiencing up there. That's a runaway horse, and it's difficult because it's funded at such high levels and means so much economically to your state. What I'm trying to figure out is what's the state's policymakers doing, and are they prepared to do when they drill the last oil well, or when they get midway through their steps of developing that oil patch? Who's going to start thinking in terms of what mitigation and mitigating principles are you going to use to try to reclaim the habitats out there for your deer and your grouse and antelope and basically what made that country great.
Well, let me ask you this, John. What impacts have there been so far on wildlife that you're aware of? We hear anecdotal things all the time from a lot of sportsmen on this program saying, well, boy, it sure isn't like it used to be. And boy, you know, the oil boom has sure impacted the places that I used to hunt, and I just don't see as many muleys or antelope as I used to in the old days. And what facts do we have that the oil boom has affected wildlife in a negative way, if any?
Yeah, well, we do have some. And one of the things I want to try to defer this to is you've got a great group of professional people there at North Dakota Game and Fish. And these folks are not only paid, but they're highly qualified people to go out and in the course of their work as wildlife managers to do the surveys and to gain and gather the baseline data so that you have some scientific basis to say what those losses are or what those displacements are. And so I don't want to come out and say that I know all of what they're working on. I know Terry Steinwan and Randy Quayle and his group of biologists up there are paying a lot of attention to what the issues are for baseline data. I can tell you from past experiences, when you have this sort of development, this kind of saturated footprint, that you have two things that happen. One of them is displacement. There will be where there used to be deer, where there used to be grouse, where they used to have their dancing leks, where they used to have their fawning grounds. They're going to be displaced. They're displaced by a significant amount of things like truck traffic and dust and noise and just the rigors of going through with oil exploration are going to displace. The second thing is an issue which I know that they're working on, and that is, well, what about recruitment? What are we recruiting what we should be, and are these recruitment rates less than they used to be when we didn't have this kind of activity?
What is recruitment? What does that mean to the layman, John?
That means that the does, let's say the does used to have two fawns, and out of that two fawn, each doe, the survival rate would, let's say, be 1.5 or 1.7 or 1.10. And so the healthy mule deer herd would be based upon the ability of the habitat to support it. So when you have a decreased amount of grazing, you have a decreased amount of sanctuary where they can hide themselves from predators, including us, the guys with the 270 rifles. And then at the end of the season, your management goal would be to provide hunting opportunity to your hunters, keep the herd in check, but at the same time continue to have healthy and recruiting youngsters into the population. So I don't have those figures right at my hands, and I would be lying to you guys if I knew exactly what those impacts were out there. But I do know that the sporting public, the folks that listen to your show, need to demand that the administration, your governors, your people on the staffs, all your governor, people on his staff, all should support what's going on with Game and Fish in terms of monitoring that baseline data. Because this is a public trust resource. It doesn't belong to those oil companies. And it frankly, it has a tendency to be able to, because the money is so great, it overshadows the importance of the policies that protect public trust resources. Yeah. And I'm familiar with that country too, Mike. I was stationed up at Minot. My first duty station as a special agent with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was at Minot from 1973 all the way through 1978. I spent a ton of time out in that Crosby country and out towards Zald, Fortuna, and all those wild roads, all those places that are near and dear to my heart, and frankly, made some great friends out there with the ranching communities. I spent a lot of time with those ranchers out in Montreal County. So I know from a landowner standpoint and the people that I'm talking to, there's still a land ethic on behalf of those landowners, but the money and the activity out there is so overwhelming. I don't know whether they recognize as part of their heritage, of their ranching heritage,
yep,
and farm, just is going to go on.
I got you. John, I'm up against a break. I need to let you go. Thanks for coming on and spending some time with us. It is the North Dakota's Oil Boom Protecting Our Hunting Heritage Action Summit. It is Saturday from noon to 4 p.m. at the downtown Fargo Radisson. Registration begins at 11:30 a.m. and is hosted by the Protect Theodore Roosevelt National Park Coalition. John Cooper, it's going to be very interesting. Thank you, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for all you do for sportsmen and for North Dakota up there. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, John. John Cooper, a good guy, cool guy.